This is Roger Stone with a message for Thomas Paine. I want to congratulate you on the incredible success of your podcast. Remember what Plato said, "No one is as hated as he that tells the truth." So keep telling the truth, breathing the truth, living the truth, and you will be successful. God bless you and Godspeed.
Thomas Paine Podcast, number 15. Life in post-apocalyptic United States. I tell you one thing, man, if you've been in a battle with the Department of Justice, you've already been to Armageddon. Guys like me, Manafort, Stone, you've already been to the gates of hell. This is like a walk in the park. It's no joke. So here we are, guys. Special thanks to Roger Stone for the shout out. Beginning of the show, top of the show. You know, let's say some prayers for Mr. Stone. I think when this is all over, he will come out a different person. You obviously don't come out the same person. I think you come out better. I think I came out better after my fight with these guys. I saw life and I saw the world differently. There's no doubt. It's hard to explain. I think it has to do with being a rock bottom and fighting these guys tooth and nail. He has a challenging road ahead of him. But I think when it's all said and done, he'll be a stronger person. He'll see life differently. And they say everything happens for a reason. I believe that. It's not easy fighting these guys. Not everybody does it. He's to be applauded for that. I mean, it's just, you take a look at the Clinton Foundation, it's like a disgrace. They put everybody and their mom in prison for next to nothing, really, when compared to these people. I know you can't you can't compare these. Why not? These guys are running a criminal cartel. They're running loose. Nobody ever does anything about them. This dope bar, we'll get to him later. This guy makes Sessions look like Superman. We should have some kind of reunion when everybody's out of the shadows of these legal situations. People who have been to the ringer with the FBI, that would be a hell of a radio show. You'd pay to listen to that one, believe me. Stuff you can't even talk about until you know you're out of the reach of these people. These people are completely insane. Case in point, one tweet today from the FBI's Twitter account. I can't even. Hashtag Tip Tuesday. Practice smart cyber hygiene. Verify information you're sharing with others originates from a legitimate source. Report scams to blah, 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 government.gov. Oh, you mean legitimate verifiable information like from Christopher Steele or Fusion GPS? Yeah, sure. We'll get right on that. You guys are. Here's another one. This one's even better. Okay. If we had time to do it and it was, a little bit more lighthearted type environment in our country, we could have done a couple episodes of FBI Dumpster Fire. But here's another one from the FBI's Twitter. Okay, this is like, if you're a comedian, they're giving you like all kind of material to work with. FBI main account. Hashtag Monday Motivation. Are you looking for tips for indoor workouts? Download the FBI's physical fitness test app to learn proper form for exercises you can do at home, like push-ups and sit-ups. So the FBI is going to teach you how to do a fucking push-up and a sit-up. All you have to do is download their app where they get access to your phone, your texts, your camera, your pictures, your video, your contact list. The trade-off is, though, they teach you how to do a sit-up or a push-up. Yeah, just download the FBI app. That's probably the stupidest advice anyone could ever have said to anybody. These guys. I'm sure there are people, ooh, let's download the app. I want to be physical fit like an FBI guy. Have you seen some of these guys? They don't have the app, believe me. I think Barr needs the app. I think William Barr better download the FBI's physical fitness test app. Right away. Okay, plugs. TruePundit.com. For news, find me on Twitter, Thomas1774Pain on Twitter, True_Pundit on Twitter. If you really want to help us out, go over and check us out at Patreon.com. That's Patreon, Patreon.com/TruePundit. Got a lot of stuff going on over there for the last year and a half. A lot of video podcasts. Several dozen of them, but I think there's like 60, 70, 80, more than 60, 70, 80, 90 now. Maybe more than that on my Patreon. And we talk about all kinds of stuff and it benefits us. And we appreciate folks coming over there and supporting us. Yeah, so I go out for like a stealth mission to get some chicken. See if I can score some chicken, right? Get up at the crack of dawn. I go out. Get to this place. There's like three other dudes there. And there's this one old guy. I'm like waiting for them to put some chicken in a bag for me. Chicken breasts or whatever. The dude's got like the gray beard, like even more gray than me. He's like a tall guy. He looks disheveled. He looks like a fucking Hemingway. You know what I mean? And he's like following me around the store. Wherever I go, this guy shows up. He's like 2 feet from me. I'm like, yo, dude. At first, I'm like, nah, I won't say anything. You know, I'm just going to play cool till I get my chicken and then I can skedaddle. But every time I turn around, this guy is like coughing, coming up the aisle. It's like, it's still dark outside. It's like 6 a.m. And I'm like, what is going on with this guy? This fucking Hemingway guy, right? Aren't you supposed to keep like 6 feet or something between you? I mean, there's like three people in this 10,000 square foot store. And I got this guy stalking me like he's from the FBI. Isn't there like a swordfish over in seafood you can go wrestle with, Hemingway? So like the butcher guy gets my chicken ready. This dude tries to hone in and grab my chicken. I'm like, yo, I literally said, yo, Hemingway, that's not for you. Okay. Almost like touched it. I had like rubber gloves on. I look like I'm in a hazmat suit. I'm milling around, right? Because I don't want to bring anything home. And this guy is like stalking people in the store. This is what we got to deal with now. It's crazy. It's like one of my scandals for the week. And then we had this conversation at the dinner table. You can't believe some of the stuff that we... You want to talk about the country taking a different direction? You never thought you'd be discussing things like this. Okay, so I'm saying, yeah, we got to go get some chicken and maybe like put it in the freezer type thing. You know what I mean? Because you don't know how long this stuff's going to last. And so
at the dinner table and I'm being told by my wife, God love her, gotta make sure it's like a chicken that is a free range and they didn't grow up on top of other chickens, like everybody mashed in together, right? And the meat's better if they're allowed to roam around and they're not like a chicken factory, right? And I say, it doesn't make any sense. If they're all packed in together like a prison yard, that's probably a better chicken. I want my chicken to be like a tough, a badass. I think it'll probably taste, but like fear probably makes the meat taste better. If he's out like cruising around in the park, this isn't like a motivated chicken. You know what I'm saying? I want my chicken to be like a prison badass, prison yard badass. This is like the conversation at dinner, right? You got to make sure the chicken is like the... Got to make sure the chicken had a play group and he was like, you know, active in his community. I want like criminal chickens. I think the meat's going to taste better. if the chicken had like a shiv or a shank and he was like, you know, the big chicken on campus, that's the kind of chicken I want. You're like discussing these things. And then you take a step back and say, what the hell are we talking about? This conversation is insane. We should be talking about other things, right? Like, are the Flyers in the playoffs? Who's in the NHL playoffs? Blah, 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 blah. And we'd be getting ready for opening day of baseball. Probably be next week, I think. Next Thursday, it was scheduled for. Which would be what, April 2nd or something like that? So instead you're talking about chicken and free range play group chicken versus badass chicken, gangster chicken. Oh, man. So it's good to start off on a lighthearted note with everything that's going on. I mean, it's so heavy that you have to take a look at some of these things and try to squeeze in some laughs where you can, folks. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about some breaking news on here, too. Some financial insights I have that other people do not have because, I don't know, they didn't spend 10 years at Citigroup. So I'm going to take a drink of coffee here. I tell you, there's so many different things happening. A lot of them are troubling. We're still here, though, right? We're all still here. And the Labor Department delayed last Friday, releasing the unemployment numbers. I think that would have definitely put an even bigger dent into the stock market. So they held off on those numbers. That would have been something. I was watching CNBC. I've been reading a lot of the Journal and all these other places, talking to people in finance. They start mentioning unemployment rates around 30%. That's not good, obviously. That could be serious. It might even be higher than that, but I don't think the government would come in higher than 25 or 30% to literally scare the shit out of people. We're going to wait and see, but and certainly not motivated in D.C. to get anything done, which is, we've said this for years, they don't really care about us. In the last week, we broke a story since the last time we did a podcast about Dianne Feinstein. She dumped $6 million in a biotech stock, Allogene Pharmaceuticals, in California, and a week and a half ago, the co-founder and executive director says he has coronavirus. I mean, come on. And then you got Richard Burr, GOP. It doesn't matter, GOP, Democrat. They're all fucking criminals. But don't worry, the FBI says that they're on the trail of white supremacists who pose a threat. You ready for this? based on their intel, white supremacists are going to put coronavirus in a spray bottle and spray cops and federal agents. Where do they come up with this? This fucking moron, Christopher Wray, right? He's been ingesting his hairspray or whatever he puts in his hair, right, for the Hawaii Five-O look. This guy is like a dummy. You have bigger problems. Meanwhile, people in Congress and Senate can just fleece the financial system, short the market, dump stocks based on insider trading, and they get a free pass, but white supremacists are the bad guys. I don't even know. Just what is there, like 25 white supremacists in the country? Seriously, this is like the straw man. Obama used to do this all the time. He used to rail against things that didn't exist, but things you would agree with him railing against because it makes sense. But in essence, when you strip things down, there was never any threats. He's just like, they call it the straw man argument. But he comes off looking like he's a genius because he's taking a moral stand, but there's no problem to take a moral stand against. These guys are like professional fucking liars. The FBI is talking about white supremacists. Really? You think that's a problem right now? Not that you have elected officials who are gaming the market and making millions of dollars or saving millions of dollars. What the hell's the difference? Based on insider information? Then are those same elected officials dragging their feet to get a stimulus package done to help Americans because they're too busy playing with the market? It's a pretty good scheme. Think about it. If you knew that a press conference could tank the market when you say, no, we're not going to vote for a bill. We're not going to vote for this bill. We're going to do our own bill. You know the market's going to tank, right? For the press, or you just short the market, buy some options, ditch certain stock in hot sectors that are taking a dive, like financial sectors, travel, airlines. Make another 500,000, make another 1.5 million, and oh, you get the deal done. Right before you get the deal done, buy some stocks back, maybe get some long-term options. The FBI is not worried about that, though. And the Security Exchange Commission isn't worried about that. Barr said, you can't even make this stuff up. Yesterday, Barr, so much for starting on a lighthearted note. But we're going to make a note to come back. I'm just rolling. We're not even going to edit this fucking thing. So I'm going to write this down. Barr said hoarding, so I don't forget about it. It's really incredible, this Barr guy. He was like flanking Trump yesterday. I don't want to see Barr flanking Trump. Unless this guy loses 100 pounds during this crisis. I mean, this guy is he's blowing up like an Alabama tick, dude. If anybody's hoarding, it's you hoarding fucking sheet cake, pal. Maybe back the hell off a little bit. You know what I mean? Everybody else is tightening their belt in the country. This guy is not... What do? They take over all the golden corrals for the feds? They come storming. The guy looks like shit, dude. Get some sleep. Go on a diet. My God. Going to the supermarket, right? This is like crazy. We had enough common sense at least to get in there a little bit early. Not like after panic started, but... And I gave a good grocery store hack last week. You should listen to on the podcast because I used to work like night crew at ShopRite when I was growing up. Hold on. And you want to stock in the shelves. So kind of a little trick to get what you need in times of need the public are not aware of. So check that out from last week. I'm not going to go into that now, but. Going to the supermarket, and my wife makes a list, and there's all this stuff on it, right? And I'm thinking, look, we got to stick and move. I don't want to be in here with all these people, right? So I want to get in and get out as fast as I can and just get what we need. Looking at the list, there's like Let's see here. I got it. like garlic cloves. All right. Oh, I got some fucking vampires coming into town. Garlic cloves. We got one fucking yam. Doesn't say yam on it, right? And then, like me, I'm like trying to debate what's the difference between like a sweet potato and a yam? And why are they not right next to each other? Why aren't they like opposite ends of the produce area? Okay. And I'm thinking, what are we running, a cooking show here? 2.5 fucking lemons? I mean, cilantro? I don't know what the hell's on this list. I can't even read it. Why am I in a supermarket here almost, you know, putting my life at risk for a yam? So I told her, look, from now on, it's like just stuff we need, okay? If you're running some kind of clandestine cooking show I don't know about, you're going to have to just put that on hold until this situation's over with. It's kind of some of the crazy things you have to navigate. If you're like me, I try to protect everybody from how potentially bad this, everybody in my family from potentially how bad this thing could get. So that's kind of a byproduct of, you know, trying to keep everybody at ease. But when you're in the grocery store, right, and you're trying to figure out, like, stuff you've never seen in your life, like a scallop, right, and with the difference between, like, a yellow onion and a sweet onion and stuff like that, and you get these people like Hemingway coming down at you at the store, coughing around, milling around, you know? The one guy had like gloves on and he's got like a napkin and he keeps wiping his face and he's like coughing. I'm like, what is this guy doing out? Guys, you know, dude's an older gentleman. Like, what's going on? Who told this guy to go out? Because if he's not sick, but you're sick when you leave the house, and then older folks are susceptible to this. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing out? Some people, and also, you know, I look at everything, right? I look at the cart. It's like, dude, if you're going to go out of the house, load up. All right, Grandpa? The guy's got like three things and three cases of Coke. What's going on at that guy's house? I'm thinking this dude's going to be back out here tomorrow or a day later, sniffling up, coughing up, right? And buying four or five things and all this Coke. What the hell's going on? Like, if you're going to go out, load up. I don't get it. That's why I don't like to go to the grocery store in the first place. Forget about it. You try to get to the meat section, you lose an arm. Oh, boy. You know, and then in PA, here's like the scheme in PA. This is repeating in a lot of states. I keep a good eye on what's going on with state. I know this sounds crazy, but I look at it. States run by conservative governors versus Democratic governors. There's pros and cons by each one, but I know it's in Pennsylvania and a lot of other Democratic states, right? They shut down non-essential businesses. And of course, one of those businesses are folks that sell ammunition and guns. So if you were thinking like, hey, this is getting pretty bad, I'm going to go buy a gun. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because you can't. You can't go buy a gun in your state because the gun shops are not open. And I talked to a couple of these guys. They're fuming because the demand is so high and the supply is still rather strong. But they can't open their doors, sell any guns. People in the state that want guns, Second Amendment, right, can't buy them. So you want to talk about gun control. Now, some states, I think, like the governor of Illinois, God bless him. I think I'm shooting from the hip here, but I think I read the governor of Illinois said, no. Gun stores are essential. People need to load up, protect themselves. But this fucking fool in Pennsylvania, Wolf, the Wolf Man, he's got everybody clamped down. I talked to some people this week. They're like, I don't know. We might open Wednesday. We might open Thursday. I don't know. And now the Wolfman's got the state police on the prowl. If you're a non-essential business, state police come and kick your door in, charge you criminally. Might even take your shit, right? Oh, yeah, who cares, right? You can roll the dice. How the state police gonna know? Oh, Wolfman set up a rat line. So if anybody's out there, like your competition or something, your competition can rat you out and say, hey, this dude's open, man. He's like fucking working. State police come swooping in. The Wolf Squad, the Wolf Man on the loose. Give this guy a fucking cape. He shut down the liquor stores in one bound, and then he closed down the gun store. I mean, this guy's like, come on. Let people buy a gun, for God's sakes. This is how I talked about this 2-3 weeks ago. We talked, and it was a recurring theme last week. This is the power grab, baby. These tyrants see this opportunity on both sides of the aisle. There's no difference. You know, where I come from, there's no difference in D.C. There's no fucking Democrats and Republicans. These guys are all the same pieces of shit. I'm sorry, my language might be a little salty, but fucking deal with it or get the fuck out. I had time to play babysit your ass. Seriously. I hear this all the time. I'm like, you know what? Especially now. People still being politically correct out there? Are you for real? You think the fucking founders of this country were politically correct when the chips were down? Guys are like, are there people out there that are still lost like this? Are we still supposed to tiptoe around? Look around you. You're locked in your house. Now I have to go out. You can't buy guns. You're standing in line for food. You can't find toilet paper. Are we still worried about the F word? Really? Really? Come on. I mean, this is how stupid our country is. I don't know, man. You know, we could all just be free-range chickens hanging out together and playing in chicken land, and everybody's very, you know, having a good time out there on the pasture and out on the farm. In a lot of ways, we might be those chickens. We might get our heads chopped off before it's all over. One way or the other. You know, when you see that axe coming swinging, you won't be worried too much about the F word in my language. Yeah, it's crazy. So, I had called like 7 o'clock in the morning today. I was sleeping, right? I was snoozing because I've been like stressed out a little bit. Sometimes I haven't been falling asleep. So I got to bed late last night, you know what I mean? Monday night. And I'm like, you know what? Phone rings at 7. I pick it up because I'm used to answering the phone at 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, no matter what, because you don't know what's happening when you're working intel and stuff like that. You're like, yo, like, yeah, we need you somewhere, you know, meet us at the airport, or we'll fly you somewhere to this airport. I've had fucking helicopters land across the street from me. You know what I mean? Pick me up. My wife's like, was that a helicopter last night? Did I hear a helicopter? Yeah, I'm back at home in bed. I'm like, yeah, it was a helicopter. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what it was. I get this call this morning, right? It's my buddy from down the road. He runs a Sunoco service station. It's been here like 25 years. He's like, this is it, man. This is the big one. I'm like, well, what's going on? He's like, this is it. I'm closing up. We can't make it. So we're not going to be able to make it. This guy's an Italian guy, not from Italy, but his grandparents were from Italy. He's a Goomba. Good buddy of mine. U.S. Marine machine gunner. Red, white, and blue through and through. So you can't do it. We're not going to be able to make it. One, let me lay this out for you. One, it's chaos right now with the economy, obviously. Two, banks are not extending any credit lines to small businesses. Three, regardless of what you hear from these fucking morons in D.C., three, Sunoco's not cutting us any breaks on rent or any breaks on like wholesale gas prices or anything. They're like tyrants. He might come on here next week and talk about it. Four, I got to worry about my family and I can't be playing grab ass all day making nickels. I'm just going to stay at home. It's more economic to stay at home right now. Employs a couple people, five, six people. Good guys as well. Gone. It'll be shuttered on Friday. He's not reopening. You don't think this is going to play over time and time again in the U.S.? This is still early. See, this is the thing. They don't understand in D.C. a lot of these guys are like month to month, myself included. I don't have fucking nest eggs and investments. It's like, it's not my world. Never has been. So when people say, oh, the stock market's doing, you know, and I've tweeted about the stock market too, right? Because it is a good barometer for the mood of the country. That's why I follow it. But what about the people that don't even have stocks? What about the poor people in the middle class, the upper middle class or lower middle class, whatever, wherever you're at, that don't even have stocks? What's the barometer for how they're doing? You see businesses like this close, it's not a good barometer. 25 years, he's been turning a fucking wrench, and now it's over? Don't forget, he's still got business coming in, right? But people can't leave the house. How you get your car inspected, how you get your car worked on and stuff when you can't leave the house and when you can't, like, associate with other people? It's a killer. This thing's a killer, even for service stations. Yeah, some people are getting stuff done, but then all the other economics too, right? You're going to hold off on stuff. We're going to talk about that. We're going to break some news about people holding off on expenses. So I tweeted about it real quick today, about my buddy. And it's sad. We go down there like Friday night. My wife makes fun of me, but it's kind of go down there on Friday afternoon to the gas station. We have like gas station happy hour. A lot of locals get together. We do shots of tequila, bullshit, shoot the shit, stuff like that. It's been a great place through the years. And people are just down to earth, right? Here's what we got. We got honkies, Irish, Italian, brothers, African-Americans, Puerto Ricans. Doesn't matter. It's just dudes. All shoot the shit. And then everybody's like from this little group helps each other out locally. Like one dude's got a fucking backhoe he's got access to. Right? Other dudes got other tools. You need a backhoe, you call this guy. You need your driveway cleaned out or something. You need something snow plowed, you call this dude. He's got the salt. He's got the snow plow. Oh, your tractor's broken or your lawnmower's broken. This dude's got an extra tractor, or he's cutting lawns, or he's got an extra chainsaw. So this is like a local hub. Gone. Kaput. Good people. Now that you're like hanging out with and stuff. It's not going to happen again. It's like it's over. So it's like this is playing over. I tweeted about him, my buddy VM. See me retweeting a lot of his stuff. The guy, and VM is like a fucking radical guy in a sense that he's just had it with all these people. And I think he's like light years even ahead of me on a lot of stuff when it comes to this. I think he's a smart, really smart guy. You know? So And he's saying this has got bigger repercussions, this little Sunoco station that's closing, okay? Because it's playing out all over the country, and it's played out for a long time. And without, like, stoking a lot of fucking trouble for myself on here, VM says, hey, is your Sunoco buddy born and bred American? I say, yeah, he's a fucking U.S. Marine, the machine gunner. The guy's like, he's a tough son of a bitch. Local guy, went to school here. Caused a lot of trouble growing up like we all did. Now he lives in Joe Biden's neighborhood. Not in his neighborhood, but he's under his, like, Biden's tutelage. He's a Delaware guy, right? And I said, yeah. Yeah, he's an American guy. And then VM says, it's a disgrace. It's an effing disgrace. And then he points out some foreign dude will come in and get a business loan from the government, right? Which is already leveraged on taxes and money and everything else. And then they'll take the gas station over. Said he's seen this happen and play out in multiple states, not just with gas stations. All across the U.S., convenience stores, cheap hotels, and it's true. The hotels, I got a buddy, one of the top dogs at one of the biggest hotel chains in the country. I talk about this all the time. Another Goomba. Goomba in Polish. Fraternity brother. Talks about it all the time. Some dude's going to come in with some sweetheart deal from the government. Won't even be a local, so to speak. Won't even be from the U.S. And he'll take that place over, turn it into a shit box. Guarantee it. He was fucking dead on. He's dead on. Because those are the only people that can compete. Because this isn't a level playing field. The American guy, the Italian veteran who worked in the Marines, he doesn't get a fucking sweetheart deal. He gets a wrench upside the head. And some other guy can come in, get a better deal from the government, and not even be a local, and not even probably have to pay any taxes. Who knows what kind of deal they strike with these people? And how do you prosecute somebody who's not even really a citizen? It's a mess. This is going to play out all over the place. There's little doubt. And there's people out there. We'll get back to Barr and the whole hoarding thing. I made a note. Yeah, I spent a lot of time at Citigroup. I ran their anti-money laundering and compliance in a lot of different places. L.A., Chicago, Delaware, parts of New York, namely Staten Island. For a platform that processed billions of dollars, checks, payments from other people. How does that work? Here's how it works. You send in a payment to John Hancock Insurance. You send in a payment to Progressive Insurance. You send in a payment to your electric company. You send in a payment to NYPD or for a parking ticket or speeding ticket. You send it to a P.O. box in New York or in Philadelphia or something like that. It actually goes right to Citi. And there are other places that Citi's not the only place. It would actually go right to Citi. The mail was controlled by Citi. And also you pay for a passport. You apply for a passport. Comes right to Citi. Passport applications. Citi processes your passport applications and you never even realized it. It's like another thing. Okay, so All this stuff you think goes to like farmers insurance, or you think it goes to whatever. Could be anything. Utilities. They have massive contracts with everybody. But it's really going right to city. And then they process payment quickly so that the bank, so that the institutions, it could be a hospital, could be an insurance company, so that there's no float. In other words, your check's not milling around for 7 days, undeposited, moving through different departments. It gets deposited right away, and that helps with the cash flow. And they make a lot of more money on the cash flow than they would if it came to the business first, and then the business went and deposited in the bank. There's 4 or 5 days float there that companies can't take advantage of, cash flow wise. So that's why they negotiate with a place like Citi to handle all their payments. So I was there during 2008 when the world almost ended, you know, in financial world. You want to talk about school of hard knocks, having a front row seat at Citigroup to the financial collapse of Wall Street and all the major banks. Learned a lot. And we'll talk about two things based on that experience. One is all this stimulus that came out. I think Citi got $50 billion stimulus from the federal government at the time to bail them out on bad housing loans, subprime housing loans, and instruments that they invested in, right? And then everybody else was hurting too, small business and everything, because of the collapse. And Citi was supposed to take some of this money and write small business loans. That's how it always works. That's how it's supposed to work now. Any stimulus package that comes out of D.C., there's going to be what? I'm just throwing it up. I've heard $500 billion is going to go into the hands of small businesses, blah, blah, blah. Here's the trick right now. What you're not going to hear from D.C., but what this is reality. You might not even hear from anybody. I don't fucking know, but I know what's going on because I talk to people all the time. I spent the last week on the phone. I must have talked to 60 different people in different sectors, just shooting the shit. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? Family need anything? What's happening? What's going on with business? What do you think? And I ask people, what's your take on this whole thing? Then from that cornucopia of different opinions, I put my own shit together. And then I come and run it through my filter, and I talk to you about it. Let you know what's going on the street. So I think I touched on it last week, but I probably didn't do a good enough job because it's such a chaotic week, but we'll talk about it right now. You got these major banks, all the major banks offer the big companies, their biggest clients that are moving the most money. They offer the credit lines. Could be $2 billion, could be $4 billion. One credit line for a company. What happens like now when the shit hits the fan? And don't kid yourself, the shit has hit the fan. The banks are being told by these companies, yo, you extended me like that $2 billion credit line, the $700 million credit line, $4 billion credit line. We want it. We want it now. Put the money in the account. And the banks are saying, oh, okay. That creates an imbalance on their books, on the bank's books. Because now the banks are over-leveraged. You have all these people showing up. It's like a run on the bank. You want to talk about hoarding. Trump and Barr and these weirdos in D.C. are talking about don't hoard toilet paper. The real hoarding is in the credit markets and in the banks and in the big corporations who want their money. Not because they necessarily are going to use it right away. They just want to sit on it and have a safety net, right? And it's not their fucking money anyhow. So if they welch on it, they walk away. These companies, even big companies, if they go under and you took out a $4 billion credit line from Citigroup or Bank of America, You don't have to repay that. You just walk away from it. So why wouldn't you? It's smart business to say, give me safety net now. And if they get it, I mean, if I'm a CEO, I'm fucking laughing. You believe these guys, they just stroke this, they just EFT different accounts, like $2 billion. We got the credit line from these dummies. We got nothing to worry about. Then what happens is, from the corporate side, you can do your layoffs and everything else, and you just create more of a cushion for yourself, right? It doesn't necessarily mean because you got your credit line that you're going to start spending like a drunken sailor. That doesn't happen either. The reality of it is you constrict your spending. And you may even constrict your workforce because you're in a survival mode, fight or flight. You're in the fight mode, right? And you're going to say, well, we're going to tighten our belt. Some people are not going to make it here. They got to go. We got this credit line. We're in the survival business now. We want to be able to come out of the tunnel no matter what. We want to be in decent shape, be able to weather this, right? So you have that going on. There's a lot of stress. A lot of things going on. Stock market, finances, relationships now. Kids are home from school, college, high school, grade school, daycare. I mean, this is like a perfect storm of stress, anxiety, chaos in your personal life. No one is immune to it now. I'll tell you that. A lot of unknown variables, right? But I got to tell you, a lot of times it's how you handle things. Like, don't forget something that I learned, right, when I was going through my trials and tribulations. My kids were growing up. They were 8 and 12. Even on my worst day, when I felt like my whole world was coming apart, I always thought, your kids are watching. You got to keep it together for them. But also, you have to let them, give your kids an example that when difficult things happen in your life, it's how you handle these things. It's your attitude when handling adversity that I think is more important than the adversity itself. With a positive attitude in it, like, and it, this sounds like out of a Disney movie, but it's absolutely true. With a positive attitude, optimistic attitude, even when the chips are down and things look really grim and depressing, goes a long way. Try to keep that in mind. In that same vein, we got these guys at BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp. H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com. Good time to have this ad because BetterHelp does online counseling, which is a pretty good idea considering you can't leave your house. if you want to go see a counselor, good luck getting out of the house, especially in states where you're not even allowed to go out anymore, okay? So these guys came a couple weeks ago, and we talked about things, and I like these guys because I said I gone through problems with the personal problems, and I could have used folks like this, and got family members could use it too. This is the stuff I was talking about, okay? Depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, family conflicts, anger, trauma. These are all areas that BetterHelp has licensed professional counselors to help you with. And communication modes, text, chat, phone, or video. These guys might be ahead of their time. Now, especially, I'm sure that they never anticipated that you couldn't be able to leave the house to begin with. But if you have problems and you need to talk to somebody, BetterHelp.com. Best of all, like I said, the price is good. The price point's good. And I know from having to pay for this for family members and stuff like that, I know the price point is good. Thomas Paine podcast listeners can even get an additional 10% off your first month with the discount code PAINE, P-A-I-N-E. So why not get started today? go to betterhelp.com/pain. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/pain. I think these guys are obviously onto something, and I wish them the best of luck. Not only because they're a sponsor, but it's a good idea. What are you supposed to do now? You can't leave the house, right? If you need something, check in with these guys and make sure you get your discount code. You go to betterhelp.com/pain. But it's good to have options. We're running out of options. Hope I'm doing a good job explaining this. And I hope you get some good insights here, because no fucking anybody else is going to tell you this on a podcast. I don't know. I haven't heard it from anybody. Okay, so the banks are overextended already in this situation. You're not going to read that anywhere, right? And what happens is this. Then they get the stimulus money from a package like this coming out of D.C. Oh, $500 billion. And people say, oh, the Small Business Association is going to write all these loans. No, they're not. They're going to contract that with the banks, right? They might process loan applications, but come on, look at the government. You think the government can handle an influx of all these small businesses looking for credit? Get out of here. The government can't handle shit. They're going to farm it out like they always do to the banks. The banks are going to get this money like they did in 2008. I watched it. I had a front row seat. They're going to get this money. They're going to sit on it. They're going to say to the people on Main Street, fuck you. You're not getting any money. Small business. We're over leveraged with these big businesses who could stiff us for massive amounts of money. There's no guarantee we ever see this money again. Billions of dollars in credit lines. You think we're going to give out loans to mom and pop when the government just helped us balance our books from being over leveraged? Why would we over-leverage ourselves again? We'll play the odds to say that a Johnson & Johnson, right? Or a John Hancock. Could be a ton of other business. Even, or a Deloitte & Touche. We'll play our odds to say that these guys are going to come through the tunnel after they weather this crucible more than Joe's fucking Army-Navy down the street. So you're not going to see any money. They hold on to this money, the banks. They hoard it, right? That's what they do, because there's nothing, there's no controls in the government that's going to make them give out these loans. Even if they get some shitty fine from OFAC or whoever, $250,000 fine, or so, it's like, whatever. Just gave us billions of dollars to help balance our books. We've been around forever. We're Citigroup. We've been around forever. We're Wells Fargo. We're going to do what's right for us. Not for the people on Main Street. Not for them. Fuck them. The risk. You do a risk assessment on a loan. No one in their right mind is going to stroke a check to a restaurant at this point. Right? No one's going to bail out the guy at Sunoco. He knows this. My buddy knows this. I got friends in the restaurant business. They're saying, we're not going to reopen. Like, what? Oh, you mean like in the next week or two? No. No, it's over. It's fucking over. Okay? Then I got other guys in the restaurant business that are busting their hump doing takeout now, trying to put some scratch together to keep it going. You know, businesses that have been in the family for 50 years, more Italian guys, right? Guy's dad started a business. He took it over after he got back from college. They cook tableside. They do the whole thing, right? Old school, like Rat Pack shit. Tale of two restaurant owners. One fraternity brother says, fuck it, I think we're done. The other guy says, we're going to keep trying to go. Keep it going. Right? Who knows who's right? The point is that both of them know they're not going to get any money from Uncle Sam. working stiffs aren't going to see this money. They never do. So when I see like Trump standing up there, all these guys talking about, oh, they're going to give money out to these guys. Yeah, we're going to save small business. It's over. It's not happening. By the time you get this fucking money, you're going to be underground three times over. If you ever get it at all, like I said, these banks don't tell you. We don't have to give you anything. The government gives us this money. We may or may not pay it back. May or may not pay it back. They can't do anything about it anyhow. Why would we? We're already over leveraged with these big corporations, right? Why would we over leverage ourselves with a higher risk sector, small businesses? A lot of small business guys, if they were smart, okay. I mean, I'm thinking outside the box here. I'd say, look, I'll try to get this loan, and if we go under, fuck it. I mean, the corporation, big corporations do it all the time. Maybe they're taking their cues from big corporations, from big tech, from companies, you know, these bigger companies say, yeah, just give us the money, and oh, if we go out of business, well, that's on you. Problem is, guess who picks up all the pieces, whether it's a big corporation or a small corporation? They get a loan. They don't repay it back. We saw this play out in the 80s with the savings and loans crisis, right? Where politically connected guys like the Bush family, like Stefan Halper, this whole crew. George Bush Sr. was president. His son, Neil Bush, owned Silverado Savings and Loan. Stefan Halper was running a criminal bank in Washington, D.C. he started. Okay. They were writing all kind of crazy loans to politically connected guys and also funneling money back to the Iran-Contras to buy weapons, the whole cocaine weapons scheme. They fleeced billions from Americans. We had to bail them out, okay? Nobody went to jail. Very few people went to jail. The most politically connected guy, like Halper, Bush, this whole crew, and there's tons of them, okay? They didn't go to jail. They didn't miss a beat. Who knows how much money they made? Halper's bank was funneling money to Oliver North's defense fund. Then they were taking money from Oliver North's defense fund. Like, you pay money to help defend Oliver North. They were taking that money and buying more weapons for the Contras. What? And guess who was Attorney General during all this? William Barr. What? William Barr? Yeah, William Barr. Okay? Little fucking history lesson for you guys out there. Especially you dummies who think this guy's going to do jack shit to reform the DOJ or charge anyone criminally in the FBI. Guys are on fucking cloud nine or wherever you're at. I don't know where you're at. Outer Limits. Some spaceship. You know what? You all should have went to Area 51 because you're all like, that's where you belong. This whole crowd who thinks that Barr is going to save the day. The same Barr who just tried to muscle in regulations will make it legal for during this pandemic situation for the DOJ to pick up anybody. When I say DOJ, I mean FBI, basically, to pick up anybody for any reason without any trial or due process and hold them in a federal facility. Guys like me, they kick the door and say, you're up to fucking something more. Your grudge and your rants against the FBI are dangerous. National security threat. Stuff that son of a bitch in a prison cell. We don't even have to worry about him till this is over. No trial. No phone call to your lawyer. No due process. No arraignment. No court. You just vanish. Taken away in cuffs. If you're not lucky, you don't get your ass beat in front of your kids and bloodied like I did. Second time they came to my fucking house. Goodbye. That came out, okay? That came out last week. That was even too radical for some of these crooked senators and congressmen to say, yeah, that's not a good idea right now. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So we have to keep an eye on that, right? But this is the same William Barr. The same Barr, okay, who was flanking Trump yesterday at this press conference, threatening people who are hoarding. This is another straw man bullshit. Who's hoarding supplies? Who's hoarding supplies that are critical to the medical situation in the country? Is there any proof that anyone's hoarding supplies? They come out and say, if you are hoarding stuff, man, you're gonna get a knock on the door from the 93 U.S. attorneys in this country. You're gonna get a knock on your door. We're taking you down. We're gonna take your shit. What are you talking about? This is a problem? Isn't it more of a problem that elected officials are fleecing the market, shorting the market, and exacerbating a bad economic situation for their own personal wealth? Isn't that a crime? You worried about some prick who's got an extra case of handy wipes? Yes, for real? What is this? What is going on here? What is this Barr up to? You talk about hoarding. The Attorney General wants to talk about hoarding, and the President wants to talk about hoarding. And all these winged monkeys who are suddenly obsessed with hoarding. I don't even think it's a problem. There's been no proof that there's a problem with this. They're just throwing this wild shit out as like a misdirection, right? The real hoarding is in the credit markets. Double fold, just talked about it. One, businesses, big business, are going to get their credit lines and they're going to hoard the money. Layoffs, doesn't matter. They're going to hold on to that money. And they might not even repay it, or they could go belly up. Two, when the banks get the stimulus, they're going to hoard that money too. If you had a functioning Department of Justice, that's something you focus on. Not some dude with an extra case or two of surgical masks that are in his storage unit. This is what you're worried about? Just make more fucking masks. There's plenty of time. You tell me in this country with our resources and global resources, we can't get enough masks? You're kidding me, right? This is like a joke. And instead, you're going to threaten people and create some problem that doesn't even exist? Like fear. This is their game. Their game, whole game is fear. We're coming after you. If you're hoarding. Oh, yeah, by the way, when we come looking for the masks more, we don't find anything. Find you got a lot of meat in that freezer, you son of a bitch. What are you doing with all this meat, you little bastard? You hoarding? This is what the Attorney General was talking about. Get the meat. Get a truck over here. Get a couple coolers. Get the meat. Put this asshole in cuffs. You're coming with us. We're stuffing you in a closet for 7 months. And we're going to distribute your meat at the field office. Everybody's going home with a couple steaks. You know what I mean? This is like gangs in New York where Bill the Butcher would whip up a couple steaks for the locals, keep everybody in line, and the local politicians, fucking Tammany Hall style. This is like another world, these people in D.C. People hoarding. Jesus Christ. Talk about a sideshow. What do you expect people to do? This is America. People want to take care of them, their families and stuff, and go out and buy a couple extra things. Leave people alone, for fuck's sake. You don't think, hey, Barr, and all you dummies in the Department of Justice, you don't think we see out here, you know, they set up all these tip lines. If you see someone taking advantage of the COVID-19 situation for fraud, call us right away. We will not tolerate medical manipulation or financial manipulation under the ruse of a medical situation. Oh, no, you won't do that, huh? Oh, yeah, we'll call your fucking tip line so that we can get whacked, or we can get audited ourselves or something, or you can pry into my fucking life like they did with the tip line. Hey, give us a call. if you know where Osama bin Laden is, or send us the information if you want a $25 million reward for the Rewards for Justice program under the State Department. Send us a tip if you want the money. We'll use your information. And if we find Osama bin Laden, you get you $25 million, okay? Just give us a tip. Send us a tip. We want to know everything about it. Then they took the tips and they started spying on people who were giving them the tips. Like, hey, how does this prick know where this guy is? This is pretty good information. Start investigating this guy. See what he's all about. Look at his phones. Get up on his emails. Get up on his texts. How does this guy know so much about where bin Laden is? They never took the information and did anything with it except protect it. Right? Now the DOJ is saying, hey, give us a call. You know somebody who's trying to make a nickel over here. Give us a call. Yeah, yeah, guess what? Where's the fucking phone number? Where can I call? I got a great tip right here, okay? On this company. Is selling fake vaccines all around the world for children. And stealing billions of dollars to do it. From other nonprofits, from people, from corporations, and from governments. They stole billions of dollars under the pretense of helping people around the world for medicinal purposes, pharmaceutical purposes, improving lives. It's called the Clinton Foundation. It's U.S.-based. Where do I call? Where's the tip line? I'm going to tell you guys all about this. Get the fuck out of here, tip line. Are you serious? A tip line? To go run down some fucking guy who's running the equivalent of a lemonade stand of fraud based on the Clinton Foundation that you gave a free pass to, bar included? It's all going to come out. Like I said today, people are like, hey, what's the stuff coming out about the Clintons? This is a goddamn outrage. I'm sitting at home with nothing to do and you won't entertain me, you fucking monkey. It's not the time or place. Got bigger problems. It'll come out. Time and place, folks. Time and fucking place. Barr let these guys off the hook. Barr, Sessions, Lynch, Holder. Two presidents now. Two presidents. Obama, Trump. It's not going to look good when it all comes out. Okay, and this stuff, the stuff you see online now from these people, I'm not even going to get into it because I don't want to start some petty anti-bullshit ego war. Ooh, Hillary's going in big trouble over her emails. Are you kidding me? Are these people, it's like a sideshow. This is another sideshow. She has to testify for her emails. She's in big trouble. It's over. Nothing's going to happen. She's not going to jail. She can't legally go to jail for the emails. She can't legally go to jail for emails during Benghazi. That ship has sailed. That ship sailed in 2017, 5 years after she was Secretary of State. It's over. It's over. There's no statute. There's no criminal statute. It's a sideshow. Total sideshow. You see that? Click on something else. It's a road to nowhere. Remember in Animal House during the parade? The dude, what's the guy's name? Stork. He like bumped off the major domo and he led the marching band down the alley and they all crushed like their trombones against the brick wall. That's what that story is. Everybody's going into an alley to nowhere. And Stork weasels out the side and gets back out in the street, and the marching band's playing grab ass in the alley. It's one of my favorite movies, Animal House. This is the deal. This story's going nowhere. Right? The big story's the Clinton Foundation. Oh, look over here. Oh, Hillary's emails. Why won't these same people that are supposedly tasked with digging up all this stuff, people can read between the lines here, right? Why don't they focus on the Clinton Foundation? No, no fucking way. They're not touching that. You know why? Because it's too hot. They want to wait until the statutes are over, and then they can act like Johnny Marvel superhero, put on your public service cape and beat a dead horse and raise money over something that's another thing that's going nowhere and everybody ends up protected and happy. Statute doesn't expire on tax fraud. So why aren't people talking about the Clinton Foundation? And okay, so my point is that we're going to get to that down the road. It continues to unfold. It continues to develop. But we're definitely on a sidetrack here, folks. More than a sidetrack, a main track, and everything else has been sidetracked with what's going on in our country. But you're getting a taste of what's happening. Second part of my banking intel is this. No one's paying any bills. Remember I said these companies I got hooks with and I worked with, they handle all the processing for payments. These are consumers making payments on insurance bills, utility bills, court fines, traffic fines, whatever, what have you. So many different things. Banking runs the gamut. I mean, pretty much anything you pay a bill for in the mail, credit cards, anything you pay a bill for in the mail or online. My financial guys are saying the volume is way down already way down. It's like 8-9 days into this. So now you have financial institutions that we talked about earlier talking about they're going to have to lay people off. They're talking to me about it. So yeah, we're going to lay people off. These people aren't, there's no payments to process, right? People are holding on to their cash. They're taking their, whether they realize it or not, they're taking their, and maybe it's just human nature. I mean, I don't know. I'm not some expert, right? Maybe it's human nature to hoard your cash in times of a crisis. I think that's probably very natural. Big corporations are doing it. We talked about that, right? Big corporations are doing it. Now the banks are doing it. So now the consumers are saying, fuck that. I'm not buying anything. If I buy anything, it's going to be food. Right? Anything else, I'm holding on to my money. Well, now the banks are saying, hey, these people aren't paying their bills. They got like clients calling us and saying, yo, are you sure the numbers that you inputted for us today are real? Or did you miss a couple trays of mail or what happened? Because something seems off. Like our volume's not there. Our payment volume's not there. And the financial guys in the bank are saying, nah, you got what you got. That's what came in. And now everybody's starting to panic behind the scenes like, Jesus, these guys aren't paying. What do we do? I'll talk about an imbalance in the financial institutions. If people stop paying, that's a further imbalance. So you can do the math here. Any money that comes in from a government stimulus, the bank's going to hold on to that even tighter, knowing that their main source of business with serving other financial, insurance, medical, whatever the client is, their volume is down. Everybody's nervous. You're going to hold on to that small business loan stimulus even harder. Not going to be extending those credit lines. You might even start constricting your credit lines to the big companies too, saying, look, it's really uncertain here. I know we granted you 700 million, you know, American Airlines. I know we granted you 700, 800 million in credit line, but we'll give you 400 million and we'll assess it in 30 or 60 days, see where we're at. Major problems here in the financial institutions that nobody's talking about. Again, I had a front row seat during 2008. It was some spooky stuff, but I was freaking out, right? 2008. I don't know what happened in 2008 when I was in the city. My son was over in another country playing hockey. He was a young guy, and I'm like, Jesus. He left school. He left grade school. He was a pretty good hockey player, and they said, hey, why don't you come to Canada? Send him to Canada to play for a year. said, all right, that's awesome. Let's do it. He was like a young guy. Took him out of grade school. And I'm thinking, guy's been up there for like a month. And then we're in the middle of the financial crisis of 2008 and the after effects. And I'm talking to a guy at the bank in my office. And he's like, are you all right? I'm like, and we all played hockey together. We had our own hockey team. So everybody knew what was going on. All of our kids hung out. All of our kids played together. A lot of our kids played together. And we all played together. We were menaces, by the way. I don't know how many fights I got into, but it was a lot. You could legally beat someone's ass playing hockey, which is nice. And he's saying, dude, the guy had been at the bank for forever. And he said, what are you worried about? Nothing's going to happen to you. This is Citibank. We're not going anywhere. I'm like, dude, we're toast. He's like, come on, stop it. Stop it. Do you know who you work for? Do you know the history of this bank? Do you know how tight we are with the government? We're like an arm of the government. Relax. Relax, kid. It's all taken care of. This stuff is all smoothed over. You don't even know about it. He was right. And one of the reasons the bank survived is exactly what I just explained to you. These guys look out for themselves. Human nature. I'm not going to pay my Comcast bill. I'm not going to pay my whatever, even mortgage. We talked about that last week. I'm not going to pay my bills until I know what's going on here. I'm going to hold on to my cash. So when I see guys in D.C., even the president saying, don't hoard, don't. It's like, come on, stop it. You have some of the biggest whores in this country, corporate whores, are hoarding billions in credit lines that could be used to apply. Look, these banks have the capital now to be doing loans to small businesses. They don't need the money from the fucking government unless all that money is leveraged with big corporations now who want their own safety net. See, that's the catch. That's the catch. That's what we're talking about. This is a trickle-down economics. This is trickle-down banking in times of crisis. It's scary shit. You're going to see. These are the underlying trappings now, things that you don't know about, things that aren't being reported. That are coming your way, whether you know it or not. At least you get a heads up here, you know, and it's unfortunate. I'll be honest with you, because I'm just a guy, right? I understand. I understand the media and everything. I understand egos and everything else in the media. I get it. I bust balls a lot of times with Fox and Breitbart and stuff, because look, they're bigger. Punching up always works for smaller guys like us. But I say to you with 100% honesty and all ego removed, it's a damn shame the stuff I just said to you is not mainstream and will never go mainstream, because the billionaires who run these corporations, these news corporations, what I just said is the last fucking thing they want anybody to know. It's true. They want to keep you every night with the TikTok bullshit and, oh, this is going to happen. That's going to, oh, Hillary's emails. Ooh, small business loans. Come on, man. They don't want a guy like me, my intel going mainstream. Right? It's the last thing they want. I think they want people to understand this whole thing is rigged. Talking about that ad nauseum now for a long time. It's rigged. Okay. You know what drives guys like that crazy, folks? I can tell you right now, I'm recording this and I'm talking into a mic. I have a couple fucking notes. I have like written on the back of a grocery note. Just one piece of paper. I don't need a script. And I'm talking, I'm telling you this, and I know that this is resonating with you. The worst thing for everybody who's trying to keep the truth from you and profit at the same time is when everything they say makes total sense and the puzzle pieces all fit together, right? And you're like, whoa, what this guy is saying is fucking dynamite. On two fronts. One, I don't have access to information like this or insights like this. Two, it's explosive in the sense that it spells trouble for us out here. I mean, if you're going to be in journalism, what the hell else you want to do? Tell people what's something they don't know. But you don't make it up. You can't make it up. It's got to be real. It comes back to bite you. So, you know, you look at it. We got problems ahead in the banking sector, regardless of what these idiots in D.C. decide to do after they're done playing grab ass, circle jerk, and being fucking weirdos with playing the politics and everything. Regardless what happens, you're going to have problems with the banks because guess what? You're just a little guy. You're just an American. You're a little guy. Little guys and nice guys finish last. You've heard that for a long time, right? We all know this, right? The banks are going to get theirs. The big companies are going to get their money. They're going to get their bailouts. Look at all the money they throw on Wall Street. They've hardly thrown anything at Main Street, right? It leads to another argument. Are they trying to collapse us on purpose? How feckless can you be as so-called elected officials, as so-called public servants, as so-called leaders? How piss poor can you be at your job to fuck up on a regular basis time and time again? It's very simple. They're making money doing this. They're shorting the market. Don't forget, we only know about... Listen, look, I talked to a congressman. He's not like an aide. He's a congressman. Funny thing happens when you start having drinks, right? He's like, financial disclosures. I haven't filed one of those in 2 years. If I buy a stock, you'll know about it like a year from now, after everything blows over. You think anybody's going to go back in journalism and media and put pieces together what happened a year ago? And if they do, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I don't know what's going on. Nobody cares. The news cycle moves so fast. Guys that are short in the market now are not making filings and disclosure filings. Why would they? Like he says, why would they? Who's going to do anything about it? You think the FBI is going to do anything to a congressperson for buying a stock? Are you for real? Do you know what goes on behind the scenes here? I'm like, no. You play dumb. And this is how you learn the ropes. It's like a joke. Total joke. There's no accountability. No one's going to jail. But you hoard some toilet paper, Bill Barr's coming for you, man. You know, I've also seen some people saying, hey, guess what? It's America's fault. Americans haven't been, and especially employers, they haven't been responsible and put their money away, squirreled the money away for hard times. That's probably one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard, because most of the people I know are now reaching into their own pockets to pay payroll for folks they have sitting at home and no one's making any money. They're paying these folks payroll. They're paying these people's health insurance to keep them on staff, and also because they have small businesses. You have a lot of relationships with these employees. They're like family members. So that's where the money runs out. When you're taking from your own savings and you're trying to keep your business afloat. Guys, now they're saying $6 trillion bailout. $6 trillion bailout. That's what this is going to cost. And everybody's going to get their piece, except you, believe me. And it's too late. In my estimation, it's too late for small businesses. They missed their window. Small business is going to apply for a loan. They're going to wait another 2 months. It's over. It's already too late. These guys have wasted 2.5-3 weeks playing grab ass. And now you got to wait more time for your... It's just not... Most of the small businesses are already out of money.
as bad as that sounds. Next time you leave your house, some of your favorite places are going to be shuttered, never to open again, guarantee you. Here's the deal. You try to look for a silver lining in every dark cloud. So, you have an opportunity now to take a couple steps back in your daily life, slow things down. Maybe you examine in your life what's important to you. Maybe you examine what's not so important to you. Maybe your perspective has changed in the last several weeks. Things that you thought were important are no longer that important. Things that you didn't think were that important are now important. So you have an opportunity now to at least examine what's important, what's not important. Maybe your perspective has changed. If you haven't done this, this is a good opportunity to do just that. Many things move very fast in this country, in your lives. If you have a chance to slow things down and reevaluate, take advantage of your opportunities. Maybe you haven't had this is like a call-in show, a radio call-in show. Like, you know, it's I'm giving advice now, but this is serious, right? Maybe you haven't talked to a brother or a sister in a while. Pick up the phone. Maybe it's an uncle. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. An old friend. Pick up the phone. Be the first to pick up the phone. Make the move. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to swallow, you know, I don't want to swallow my pride. Really? Pick up the phone. Come on. Man up. At least you know where you'll stand at the end of it. Maybe your life will change for the better dramatically, but at least you know where you'll stand. Don't forget to say a prayer for our country, no matter who your God is or if you don't have a God. Have positive thoughts about the future of our country. Well wishing, but say a prayer. Not enough of that stuff going around. Not enough bread. Now, you know, I don't talk about it enough either. This is like Uncle Mike's story hour. Be nice to your family and say your prayers before you go to bed. In all seriousness, however bad you think you have it, there's somebody else that has it worse. Say a prayer for them. And also, for myself, be thankful for the things you have and the people you have in your life. It's one of the things that make this country great. When the chips are down, we all look out for each other, more or less. I'm not including the government in that scenario, but we have to look out for each other, right? It's all about. Maybe we come out of this stronger. We're going to have to be stronger after we come out of this, because that's the way adversity works. Guys like Roger Stone know it. I know it. You didn't have to go through what we went through. It doesn't mean you won't have your own trials and tribulations as a result of this. So stay strong. Times of need, say a prayer. In times of doubt, buckle down and remember that. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train.
It's not fair to you, I know. And I'm sorry I can't let it go. There's something desperately wrong with me. Hush, don't tell me what's going on. Hush, don't tell me what's going wrong. Don't make me a victim, please.
Wrong with me. Oh, and I gotta go.
don't need to know. I don't need to know.